hasn't previously been stated. And I tried to keep those aspects in terms of the general philosophy of Barry Goldwater to a minimum. Nevertheless, I cited the exact same passage that Lee did because it moved me when I first read it and has moved me ever since. And when I look for what should be the defining purpose of a senator or a House member or even a candidate, that passage that Lee read comes back to us, as the passages of so much that the conscience of conservatives does to us conservatives. It was a book that captured the attention of every conservative at the time. It was an enormous success, but we should not forget that it was not published by a major publisher, not even by the two major conservative publishers at the time. It took the Mannion family and the individual effort of Barry Goldwater to get the book actually published. But part of Goldwater's central message was that conservatism, once articulated and once presented to the American people, would be enormously popular. In his later work, Goldwater, the senator wrote, "Sales of the book soared beyond our wildest dreams. The book became a symbol of the new political consciousness." Goldwater took a special delight at the reception it had among young Americans. He wrote, "The Conscience of Conservative was the college student underground book of the times. It was virtually ignored by the media, most college professors, and other liberals, but held a monopoly on the information flowing to the American people." When Goldwater made an indelible print on young people at that time, he ensured that his ideas would define the conservative movement for decades to come. But it was also the clarity of Goldwater's message that ensured that it would echo down through the years. The Conscience of Conservative made a compelling case for limiting the powers of government. Goldwater later wrote that it reflected his central tenet that people are responsible for their own spiritual and material development, and that these should not be dictated by outside forces such as the government. At this particular point, I would have echoed the passage that Lee read, because I think it is the most concise statement of conservative philosophy that an elected official has ever made, at least in my times. Goldwater stated his philosophy clearly, and he sought out new audiences, whether it be the former Yellow Dog Democrats of the South or the young audience at the time. In the foreword of The Conscience of Conservative, he wrote, "The challenge for conservatives today is quite simply to demonstrate the bearing of a proven philosophy on the problems of our time. I find that America is fundamentally a conservative nation. The preponderant judgment of the American people, especially among young people, is that the radical or liberal approach has not worked and is not working. They yearn for a return to conservative principles." Goldwater recognized the need for additional voices to articulate that conservative philosophy. That, in fact, was a central part of his message. He wrote at the time, in The Conscience of Conservative, "My hope is that one more conservative voice will be helpful in meeting this challenge." Goldwater recognized that it was a comparatively small number of individuals that spoke out on behalf of the principles that we believe in. And to me, that is still one of the most surprising observations about the conservative movement today, is how dependent we are on a few relatively unpredictable individuals who champion our cause with unprecedented success. Our success comes, I believe, as Goldwater believed, from the underlying correctness. It's common sense. That was an essential part of Goldwater's thesis. The American people respond with unbelievable relief when a conservative steps forwards and articulates conservative principles. That was the secret of Ronald Reagan's popularity, despite the disdain with which he was held by the media and academia during both his terms as governor of California and both terms as president of the United States. The American people simply shared his beliefs. The small number of individuals who stepped forward to present the conservative ideas is especially surprising. Then again, I suspect most conservatives are conservative for the reasons Goldwater cited. They like to be left alone, to live their own lives, to raise their own families, and to save their own souls. They're not looking for a crusade, and they're not looking to use the coercive power of the federal government to reorder the lives of others. The conservative-minded individuals often go into law, into business, or focus their attention on raising their families, rather than going into the opinion-forming sector on a full-time basis. The few concertas that are left to go into general education or into public policy organizations are numerically overwhelmed by the leftists, whose mission in life is to coerce the masses to live their lives as they see fit. That's part of the reason why so many modern-day conservative leaders come from surprising backgrounds. Ronald Reagan was a mildly successful movie actor. Jack Kemp was the Buffalo Bills quarterback. Rush Limbaugh was the Kansas City Royals promoter. Peggy Noonan, I think the greatest speechwriter of our times, was a co-ed at Fairleigh Dickinson, who was appalled by how little was left in her grocery store-generated paycheck after she paid her taxes and her union dues. And Newt Gingrich and Dick Armey were happy to be college professors until their liberal colleagues made their academic life a day-to-day hell. So it's no, and Barry Goldwater would cite college students, also an unpredictable force in propelling conservatism forward into the public arena and to its political success. So it's little wonder when you look at these cast of characters, the left often asks themselves, where do these people come from? Surely they're not the trained leaders like the Clintons or the Gores who have spent all their lives preparing to serve in government, or even the Donna Shalalas or the Joyce Lynn Elders or the Sheldon Hackneys or the Robert Reiches who came directly out of academia. No, my friends, we rely on a relatively few number of individuals, usually from an unpredictable occupation, to step forward and make the case for conservatism. Goldwater knew that the conservative activist was crucial. That's why he repeatedly cited the importance of young people. And that's why we must be concerned to this day about the importance of our ability to reach young people with our message. Within 8 weeks of the national election, Time magazine ran two cover stories attacking Newt Gingrich. Now, to be sure, the national media ran similar stories attacking Ronald Reagan in 1981. And I think that Gingrich can overcome those just as Reagan did. But I think we need to recall what Goldwater felt was his essential reason for writing The Conscience of Conservative, and that is our need to articulate our viewpoint and to express it in the public arena as much as we possibly can. An important part for Goldwater was that you get an essentially a solid education. Now, that may be self-evident to members of the Philadelphia Society, but it was not as clearly defined at that particular time. But Goldwater's ninth chapter in The Conscience of Conservative dealt with the current and future problems in education. Barry warned that the liberal solution was simply going to be to just spend more money. Their solution is to spend more money. Mine is to raise standards. Their recourse is to the federal government. Mine is to local school board, the private school, and individual citizens, as far away from the federal government as you possibly could go. Goldwater knew that the liberal position would inevitably lead to attack on Western civilization, and he said it. I suspect that if we knew that these two views of education will eventually, which of these two will eventually prevail, we would also know whether Western civilization is due to survive or to pass away. Goldwater at that time didn't address the left's desire to monopolize our educational institutions, but it is no surprise to me that the Conscience of Conservative was a victim of that attempt to monopolize it. I was generally shocked in the mid-1980s when I looked to have the Conscience of Conservative be used as a textbook or as a book for a Young America's Foundation essay contest. And I started to look around at some of the courses around the country and found that I couldn't find a single course in the country that offered this classic work, this great bestseller in the post-World War II era, on any course in any campus in the country, including those purported courses on conservatism and including at those schools in the we consider to be our conservative schools. And I also found in the course, of course, that it was no surprise then that the book, in fact, was out of print. And that was what led to the effort of Regnery Publishing, Senator Goldwater, and Young America's Foundation to reprint that particular issue. Conservative students today must be urged to read The Conscience of a Conservative, just as they should read the other great classics of our time, those by Nobel laureates Solzhenitsyn, Friedman, and Hayek. We know that students will not be assigned this book, or those other books as well. So I think, once again, we have to do our part in urging students to read this book and keeping it alive as a defining book for the future of the conservative movement. The second, I think, that Goldwater understood is that you ultimately had to express your ideas to those people around you. Again, that comes back to the preface of the conscience. Many are surprised, as Barry Goldwater was, about how quickly people share the conservative ideas that he articulated. I think that the success of the conscience of the conservative, the most successful political tract of its time, is an indication that the country was anxious to hear the conservative message, and I believe it is today. Reaching out to a wider audience became a central part of that. In writing on welfare, Goldwater cited our biggest challenge would be communication. He wrote in the Conscience of Conservative, "We're through unless conservatives can demonstrate and communicate their message." Goldwater also understood the importance of approaching the audiences with great enthusiasm. I think that one of the aspects of Goldwater that initially scared the American people was he was so enthusiastic about his ideas. But I think that it's true that our generation and his generation would not have considered conservative ideas unless he approached it with a degree of enthusiasm that he did. Part of the reason the 1964 campaign was not successful was the degree that he was so enthusiastic about his ideas that it was easy to scare the American people and say that this man was not fit to be president. But that enthusiasm allowed the ideas that he embedded in the American discussion to become the cornerstone of building the conservative successes in the 1970s and the 1980s and the 1990s. Finally, I think Goldwater learned a message the hard way, if you will, that we conservatives still should underscore, and that is to surround yourself with people that reinforce your work. Later in his book, Goldwater said he regretted dismissing the F. Clifton Whites and the Bill Rushers and the Bill Buckleys from his inner circle, because he felt that those individuals who more closely shared his ideas would have done a much better job of selling those ideas to the American people. Goldwater's book was published because Goldwater was not willing to simply say, "I tried through the existing institutions, the opportunities were foreclosed to me, and I was going to go back to just being a United States Senator." He was prepared to publish his book completely independent of a major publisher, underscoring to me one other message that the conservative movement and conservatives should never forget. And that is, if existing institutions are thwarting our advancement, we should never hesitate to create our own institutions. Rush Limbaugh would have never risen to the top if he simply tried to get along in the newsroom at CBS News. Thank God Bill Buckley began and struggled with National Review rather than just trying to publish in the New Yorker or Atlantic Monthly or the New Republic. And thank God that Henry Regnery decided to publish writers such as Russell Kirk and Bill Buckley. And yes, thankful too that Gingrich and Armey said the heck with the petty academic games that their liberal counterparts were trying to tie them down with and went off and ran for Congress. This is the type of spirit that Barry Goldwater had in publishing The Conscience of a Conservative in the first place. I have seen our conservative ideas applied by a very unpredictable group. Ronald Reagan, the movie actor, Jack Kemp, the Bills quarterback, the disgruntled grocery store employee, Peggy Noonan, the Royals promoter, Rush Limbaugh, and indeed the frustrated politician, Barry Goldwater. Goldwater said we basically have it within our hands to have our movement succeed, because the principles have been defined, we know the American people support them. Goldwater said in Conscience of Conservative, "Our future, like our past, will be determined by what we individually make of it." Thank you very much.